This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to disseminating the Torah and Mesorah of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky and his Rebbeim. Please consider donating at eshelpublications.com to help us continue our mission.
We're holding over here in Saita, obviously, and the piece, we were in the middle of a piece which is in Memtes, in Yaakov, the piece is number Memtes, and it's in the middle. We had seen the last, we finished off last time, we were talking about Kiyum Zeh Kol Mashakasa B'Zeh. We spoke before Shavuos about it, and...
Which daf in the Gemara?
It's Yud Gimel Amid Beis, is in the Gemara. And in Yaakov's, it's the piece that's called Memtes, but it is at the end of the piece. It's a long piece, Memtes, and it says Ilo Iasik Be Moshe Lav Masik Be Yisrael. That's where it starts. Okay, so the Gemara asks. The Gemara says that the Aronos of Yosef was born by Moshe, and Moshe got schar for it, and so on. So the Gemara asks, "V'iloi asik be Moshe, loy have ma'ask be Yisrael." So the Mashmoa says, "Kiilu only Moshe was the one who was osek in it." So if Moshe would not have been osek in a class, he wouldn't have jumped on the bandwagon. But ksives atzus yisus she'el bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim kovu b'shchem. So it says Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta, and Klal Yisrael had to continue it anyway. So if they were good for holding on to the bones and taking over, they probably would have done it before also. And also the su ilaskebe Yisrael banav levim askebe, and if not Klal Yisrael, the children. The children of Yosef. V'ksiv ayuvne Yosef lenachla, amra nicholay kvoidem merub yesim atim. So at any rate, the question was that they would have done it. So then Gemara says, "Cover b'shchem, ma'ishna b'shchem, ma'ishchem, or Abchana Nina b'shchem gondvu l'shchem nachsa veda." Fine. Koshakra adoni. So now the Gemara says the psukim associate each other. K'siv v'yikach Moshe's atzus Yosef imoy k'ashbe ashbia, u'k'siv v'asas Yosef shalom bnei Yisrael mitzrayim cover b'shchem. So in the Pasuk, it's attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then it says, Bnei Yisrael did it. Amar b'chama bar b'chanina, kala isa dov v'loi gomroi, uba acha v'gomroi, ma'la la b'akosav al she gomroi kila aso. So the Pasuk says that if a person does something and somebody else finishes it, it's credited to a person that finished it. That's one. Rabbi Loza says you also lose, you become lesser than you were. So we have here a Gemara, this is quite a famous makor, where it says that mitzvahs are called al shem goimram. That if a person finishes something, one person started something, one person finishes something, it's nikra al shmoi. And then it says the second half, which is even kind of more sinister, it says that he gets a punishment for it. So obviously, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get punished for it because it was an onus. I mean, you don't expect somebody who dies to continue doing it. But l'mashal by Yehuda, since Yehuda was the one who started the act of saving his brothers, of saving Yosef, and he didn't continue with it, so he lost out from it. That's the Gemara here. So the question here is going to be, obviously the point we're going to try to address is, why? Why is this Shleimus A, Chashev? And two, what's wrong if the person wasn't Mashlemit? So we'll assume a given and obvious that when we faulting people for not being mashlemit, it means people could have done it, and they just didn't get around to it. But imagine we have two people. One person never bothered to do something. Person started building a sukkah. We have two people. One person never even thought of building the sukkah. He kind of took it easy to start with. And one person started building a sukkah, tied in the middle. It seems almost as if the second person is worse than the first person. And why? How could that be? So this is what the Maral will speak about it, more towards the first issue. There's, by the way, just as an interesting side point, there is a halachic ramifications to this Gemara. There's a Shvus Yaakov that people use lahalacha in the following sense. It's brought in Shuvasvarm. Shuvasvarm brings this Shvus Yaakov, or brings this Gemara. If somebody reads a shidduch, or he brokers a business deal, there's a halacha, you have to pay the person a brokerage fee. Now, what happens if a person started it, gave the idea, and then the other person finished it? Which happens in shidduchim many times, very typical. Somebody comes along and he says, I have a great idea for you, so, so, so forth. And then he says, but you know what, I can't be involved in the go-between, I'm too busy, whatever, so find yourself somebody else. So kind of the rule of the thumb is a third and two thirds. And the reason is that's given usually is because the mitzvah is al shem gomro. So the person who finishes it is actually considered to be more better. And we sort of give it a 2-to-1 type of arrangement. They do speak in halacha about, it's interesting. This is one of the places where they actually use agarata. They say it depends also what if the second person could have done it all himself without the first person. So if the first person did a little bit and didn't follow through with it, he gets nothing. If the second person wouldn't have thought of the idea, couldn't have approached the other person for the deal or whatever it is, then the halacha is he gets it. And they bring the raya from the following. Our Gemara about Yosef and Yosef and his brothers, Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael, versus it says that the Beis HaMikdash is called the bias that David built, despite the fact that Shlomo built it. And the answer is because David was a nefesh on it. So they explain that Klal Yisrael could have carried out the Aron as well. Didn't need Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, once they're the ones that completed it, it's al shmam. Masha Ein Kain by David and Shlomo, the one who started was David. It had to be David. Only David had the schusim to get it off the ground. And therefore, over there, even though he didn't complete it, he still gets credit for the part that he did do. It's possible to call it the bias of David for that reason. So they sort of apply this as well to brokerage / atchanis, etc., along the same lines. If the first person really you could have done without him, and this first person did not accomplish anything tachlis, so there's really no point in giving it to him. Mashenkin, let's say the first person did something that the second person couldn't have done, so there we give him and the second person as well, because the first person's part remains. In the complete binyan, you still have the first person's part. It's halacha. This is the famous. There are not that many makoros, and this is one of the makoros that gets talked about a lot. And there's another one more just interesting vignette. This is a story that the Chartkever Rebbe said over about the Neidi Behuda. So even though Chassidus Rebbe told it, but since it's about a Litvish Gadol, we'll allow the story in. The Neidi Behuda had money from his Nadin, and an Oni came to him, and he came to him and told him a terrible matzah, or for kid, whatever it is, he needed 300 mark, ruble, whatever the currency was, which obviously was quite a large sum. The Neidi Behuda thought a few moments, and he gave him 290. So afterwards, when somebody discovered it, he asked him, well, what's the pshat? He said, because the mitzvah is al-shem gomro, I want it on somebody. Let somebody else take the credit. I want to do it 100% l'shma, not even get the credit for it. So the Chartkever said, and that's why he was zochot to write the Neidi Behuda. That's the story of the Akapanit. Let's see the morale over here. What he says, has explained it. Ki ilu aso, ki akoy lo lecha chashlama, u lekach nikre haloas al shem Yisrael, acha shashlema shem mitzvah kvura. Since bringing him over is really only part of the mitzvah kvura, and they're the ones who actually did the kvura, it's called of their name. Valo eino rak achone bolvara la kvura. U lekach nikre tchilas halo shem Yisrael gam kein, ki gemar hadova, who kemoi suras hadova ashakol nikal shem atzura. Umipnei she Yisrael osa kvur she ikam mitzur osa, noima gam ken shem hel oisa v'yeshol ahoven eseh. So morale is mekatz a little bit, and he's meirich in Nesiv HaTorah, Pegut Ches, maybe we'll see something there, but I want to explain what his point is, what he's trying to say over here. We have two types of being mashlim something. So lemashal, let's say I need 100 bricks for a building, and somebody gives me the last 10 bricks, like the mashal of Rabbi Yehuda, that would not be called al shem gomrei, because it's we're dealing with quantity. And so I need 100 bricks. The 10 of 100 bricks are 1/10 of the entire amount. That remains no matter what. So when we're dealing with items, that quantity is the measure of it, then afterwards it also would remain that way. And you wouldn't have this special mile of gumrah. Let's say we're talking about wiring up a computer. And somebody wires it, and he leaves out the last connection. And someone comes along and does the last connection. So the first person did a lot of work. The second person created a computer. It's true that he only did a very small pa'ula, but the difference between the two is one is a computer and one is just a bag full of wires. Even if it's not missing all that much and so on and so forth, but you created something else. So the morale says, when we're dealing here with a transition from Chomer to Tzura, and that's called the Hashlama, being Mashlim something is the Pshat that I am giving it a Tzura it didn't have before. The word to be mashlim, so colloquially we use it sometimes, I need $100, so I have 90, the 10 is mashlim the amount, but that's a very colloquial use for it. That's not a precise description of it. The precise description is when I have a painting and somebody finishes the last stroke that makes the face come out or whatever it is, then I have a Dove Sholem. I once heard from Gedalia Eisman, he was the Mashkech in Kalteira, from the big Baal Musa, this Reb Chatzel's big Talmud, he was Bishaito, like the big Baal Musa at the door, and he had very, his shmuz were incredible. And he once spoke at a bris, it was an eye doctor in Shaar Tzedek who made a bris, and his friends were there, and he spoke more for an outside Olam. So he said, he spoke about bris being mashlim a person. So he said that the word chatzi has two types of meanings. If you have a half a shekel, you have 50% of a shekel. And yes, that's exactly the definition of it. If I have a half a plate, I don't have 50% of a plate. I have zero plate. A plate that's broken in half is not. So he said, he spoke about bris being mashlim, a person's tzura. He said, the shleimus of a adam is like the plate. Whenever, whatever you're missing is missing in terms of a total picture. So, and the morals, the way he defines it, chaymer is quantitative. Chaymer is material. So it's measured in weight, in size, and in how many, in quantity. A tsura is a very different type of metzias, and that's what Ral says, always more is as bad as less. And therefore, when you have a tsura that's missing anything, you have zero tsura. You may say that it's easy to be mashlamit, but it's not mushla. So he says over here, so when I ask myself, who made this painting? It's the person who actually did whatever was needed to give out that tsura that comes from it. Then he says the next one, Marino Simigdolosi, who be a dovazek, kasha masl be mitzvah royally my mitzvah. So there's something about a person who started a mitzvah and doesn't continue with it is worse, because it's almost as if starting the mitzvah means he's entering into a world of tzura, of shleimus, of ruchnius, and a person lets go at that point, then the person has actually done something wrong. So when a person is chayta and he does not create shleimus where shleimus ought to be created, because that's not the midah keneged midah. The midah keneged midah is that the person has it and loses it. You know, there's an agmas nefesh, a miyuchadik agmas nefesh for someone who already tasted the tam of that shleimus and has to let go. He explains this more. I'll read a little bit inside. It's in a sivas olam nesiva teira. It's long nesiv. And that is Nesiv Yud Ches. And he speaks about this chazal. So he says like this. So he asks a few questions. I'm just going to try to find the piece that I want to see. I'm going to read just the lines that are the very relevant lines. Umipnei ki a mitzvah yishleimus ha'adam ulekach tzor she'asis and b'shleimus gamkein fi mashi mitzvah. So Ral says here yisoid that people need to treat mitzvahs kifi what they are. In other words, and this is a yesod that he uses many places, the way in which you undertake to do something should fit the character of the thing. So mitzvahs are mashlima adam. They give a person a certain tzura. So the word shleimus is something that should apply specifically to mitzvah. Because hischa adam adovah shua shlama tzok lahashlim kula. In other words, it's the person's desisting from doing, because the mitzvah lies in his hashlama. It doesn't have the value. It's so lamashal, same way like a computer. Let's say I'm supposed to clean up leaves on my front yard. So cleaning up 50% of the leaves, it cleaned up 50% of the leaves. I did something. When I do, when I'm supposed to wire a computer and I stop three steps before the end, I haven't done anything. I've made it easier, but nothing has been accomplished. So it's a much stronger perish mina mitzvah when you are oisik in it, because the mitzvah doesn't lie in all the steps together. It lies in the final product. Ve'oid ki a mitzvah hi eloikis bilti gashmis. Ve'dobar shu bilti gashmi lo yischalik. Ki a dobar shu gashmi mischalik. Avdor shu bilti gashmi in mischalik klal. So he's downgrading the mitzvah. It's like, you know, when a person is the Balabas. You know, one of the things that I find a lot of times very irritating when you daven a Balabas Shul, and a person will come in for davening at, I don't know, 10 o'clock. So as far as he's concerned, you know, davening is from 9 to 11:30 or whatever, 9 to 11. I came in at 10 o'clock. I think it's pretty good. I why isn't 50% also good? That attitude is universal. But somebody who understands, like a Ben Torah, someone who understands that there's Shemini Esrei, there's Krishna, Birchas Krishna, Sibiras Gula Tefillah, there's Kriyas HaTorah. It's not just how many hours of sitting in the shul. It has a complete surah to it. You find this, what are you thinking? You know, the guy walks in, he'll pick up a sitter, look around where everybody's holding, he'll continue there. So that's, you know, yes, I also understand that it's probably better you should do that than not come, but just the way we irritated about it, because the person is treating davening like it's how much time have you done in shul, how much time have you been sitting in shul. The person dealing with a mitzvah in that way is sort of taking a mitzvah and demoting it to the level of something gashmi, something that's not ruchni. It's all about how much, and it's all about how long, and so on. So it comes back to haunt a person that in those areas where a person himself understands shleimus, so that's when he has a problem. So just like Lamashal, well, let's take the simple example with it says the bun of Mason and so on and so forth. There are other things we have. We have a car. We'd like the car to last for a long time. It's expensive and we don't want to replace it. But if the car dies and we replace it, so we replaced it. So what? I mean, I had a car today. I have a car and tomorrow I'll have a car. What's the difference? The same car, different car, no big nafkamina. But Ishtar Banov, the pshat is, this is me. This is a shleimus. It's not, you know, well, it's nice to have a wife around. If not this one, another one. If not another one, a third one. So that's what Maral says. The person takes something aloiki, bilti gashmi, and he turns it into something gashmi. By the way, one of the sentences I've always found to be astounding, I was reading some sort of description of Stalin's meeting with his Politburo or something, and he told one of the members that his wife had been arrested and she's in Siberia and probably will be spending the rest of her life or whatever it is in Siberia. But he said, don't worry, I have a different wife for you. So between his sadism and cruelty, but my gut feeling is, yes, they had reduced all of human behavior into you know, material. So you need a wife. So, okay, you know, we retired one wife, we'll have another one waiting for you. Then the Maral, so that's one point that the Maral makes over there in the Sivat Torah, is this explanation of what's the pagam that you're doing in the mitzvah. In a sense, it's much worse. A person who doesn't do a mitzvah doesn't do a mitzvah. He knows what he should be doing, but he doesn't do it. But a person who does it and he treats it as if it would just be material, that's a certain worse. Then he asks over there, what about the Kohanim? It says that they would make an effort to divide up the avodah into as many parts as possible, so that as many Kohanim as possible would get the avodah. Samaral asks that over there. And he answers, Bein Zakasha, because the Kohen over there wants to. It's not the Pshat is the Kohen himself is sick and tired of it. We impose on him and say we would like everybody to have some chelik of it. So he says, This klala over here is something. This all this terrible thing Mar says is where the person prefers his own comfort over the shleimus of the mitzvah. Where he says it's enough, but where it's done out of a different ideal, out of something where and it's also not his. In other words, whoever's in charge of Kohanim imposes this. Then he brings our Gemara over here also, and he says the same. He says the same Hesba. He adds one more thing that's interesting over there. Two more points that he says are that are additions to what we're saying here. One is he understands Hiddur Mitzvah as being part of that same structure. In other words, Hiddur Mitzvah is a certain shleimus in the tzura of the mitzvah. So just like if I have have furniture, and I wipe it clean and wax it, make it shine, and so on, that's an improvement in the thing itself. It's a certain shleimus in it. So the chiyuv of a hiddur mitzvah, or the inyan of a hiddur mitzvah, is better said. The inyan of a hiddur mitzvah is expressing that level of sense of shleimus in the mitzvah. So if I just see a mitzvah as something to do, and it doesn't have its own tzura, so I did it and that's it. But when I dehear that a mitzvah has a tzura to it, yofi and hiddur are qualities associated with a tzura. That's an addition I make up there about hiddur mitzvah. So hiddur mitzvah, we're always stuck. Well, am I obligated to do it? Not obligated to do it. The answer is, if you're talking about obligated, not obligated. But in as much as you perceive a tzura in it, then there's an inyan to do it. I'd like to add something to that, parallel to it. The word vayas in Maisa Bracious, you have vayitzer, you have different lashons, bara, you have also the word yas, vayas lakim. And Rashi says vayas is the final polish, like it says osa siparnov, that the siparnov loyos actually says the asiya is sort of the final polish of something. It's something that always struck me as very odd. I mean, bria is yesh me'ayin. I get that. Tzura is imposing a tzura, vayetza is imposing a tzura on chaymer. So bria creates chaymer, this creates that. Those are two very discrete units of creation. In as vayas means it was meshachla, Rashi says. He gave it its final, kind of little brush with the feather brush. Where does that stand in relationship with everything else? What does it mean? I mean, it's sort of, there's nothing fundamental about it. There's nothing in it that in any way the Torah should bother to explain. Yes, so Kadosh Baruch Hu painted everything with a beautiful color. Wonderful. He made fresh air, with a good scent. Fine, nice. But is that a real fundamental stage in Bria Solom? The answer is, if you look at Bria as things, then of course it's not the same. The guy who cut the wood, the guy who made the table from the wood, those are two very, very fundamental steps. The guy who sort of waxed the top of the table so it's nice and pleasant, I mean, it's a nice thing, but it doesn't rank around that. The answer is the Bria itself has a tzura to it. And it's more than things that are needed to be there. There's a certain shleimus hatzura, and that lies dafka in the shleimus shaboy. It's dafka in it means bringing out the tzura in its most. And there's a famous verse from Chatzal Sarna. He once said, it says, we say in benching that because the world bechein bechesed v'rachmin. So he asks, melech chesed v'rachmin. I understand what it makes sense. A person is hungry, a Kadosh Baruch Hu creates out of his mercy, we have food, bread, and meat, and so on. What's chen? Where does chen come into the picture? So he said it very picturesque. He said, a Kadosh Baruch Hu could have created apples to be dull gray, taste like styrofoam, but give us the nutrition we need. And we would eat it, the way we breathe air. We would eat it because we have to, and that's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an apple with color, with taste, with aroma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us everything with chen. Food is not just a necessity of life; it's a pleasure of life. It has itself a tzura. One more thing that he says over there, the Maral, that I want to touch on in the Sivat Torah, he says the inyan of Simcha Shel Mitzvah is part of that framework of Shleimus. In other words, Simcha is an emotion that relates to having attained a certain tzura. So, when a person gets married, there's simcha. When a person has children, there's simcha. So when a person becomes a husband, wife, a person becomes a father, mother, those are simcha because simcha is an expression of a certain shleimus. The Zman Simcha Seinu is sukkis because that is, it's the hashlama. It's now I have the thing b'shleimusay. So simcha is something that's associated with things that are bishleimus. So the simcha that's obligated in a mitzvah is a result of understanding that a mitzvah is a shloma to the person. I am now an adam sholem. I'm now the person I ought to be because I put on film, I davened, and so on and so forth. Those are all the nekudas that the Maral associates with it. So when it says that these terrible things like kevet ishtei banav and so on, either it's so we can take in different ways. Either it's sort of a mashal, it's kind of like this is the type of avli you did. You got married and dropped it, and you had children and dropped them. It's one thing if you never did the mitzvah, but so it's sort of more of a mashal to explain. Or the person willfully, it's just like a person who shano piresh. It's worse. A person who started a mitzvah and it felt that, okay, 3/4 of mitzvah is also good enough. You know, that in a certain sense is pogea in pogim in the etzem musig of what the mitzvah is. Okay, I think we'll hold it here. Any questions, any points?
There's a question in Isha or the Yifas Torah. Yeah. The same lashon as Asasa est Tzipornaha.
Yes.
Also, maybe kind of a.
Because Asiya Tzipornayim, correct. The reason Asiya is used both for hair and for Tzipornayim, because those two are not essential functioning elements of the person. They rather go towards the tzur of the person. So the Tzipornayim and the Cyrus, it's not contributing any parts of the body, but it's definitely contributing a lot towards Shleimus. So, and that's why Rashi uses that pasuk to describe the word asiya as being specifically relating to the tzura, the tzura of the thing. Okay. Let me just.
Abbas Yaakov Yishukov.
Abbas, thank you. Good to see you again.